Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one podcast in all things marketing, advertising, and communications. I'm your host, Ted Lau, podcast host, award-winning agency owner, and full-time family guy. Today, we got Stephen Kiley, who's been a celebrated leader, trusted advisor, and radical collaborator at Dentsu for the last 18 years. Starting off his career in the media group, Stephen quickly established himself as a thought leader for key global clients, overseeing a portfolio of world-class brands. He then pivoted his focus to the creative business, driving big, bold ideas for some of Canada's top brands, including Toyota, Lexus, Subway, American Express, and cementing Canada as a center for excellence for their clients' global work. Known for his ability to connect people and ideas, most recently now a CEO of Dentsu Canada, Stephen firmly believes that a strong team and an even stronger culture are what drive success in their business. Stephen, welcome.
Hey, Ted. Thanks for having me on.
How you been, man?
Yeah, I can't complain. The sun is shining here in Toronto, Ontario, and everything's good.
Yeah, I hear that you were saying in the pre-call that it was, what, 20-some-odd degrees, and you're sweating buckets already, where it's cold still in Vancouver, and that's kind of roles reversed, isn't it?
But, you know, you're in Vangroovy. We all want to be in Vangroovy. Yeah, everyone,
is that what you guys call us? Oh, my goodness.
That's, you know.
Vangroovy. All right, so we always start off asking our superheroes their origin story. So tell me how you got to where you are. I mean, not everybody gets to become CEO of a global agency.
Pretty fortunate, pretty blessed. You know what? I grew up in South America. I grew up in Brazil and Bolivia. La Paz, Bolivia specifically is where I finished my high school. And Canadian originally. My dad was a cable guy. And so always kind of in the entertainment space. And we moved down to South America. And in Bolivia, he was delivering, I think it was three channels. It was soap operas, news, and cartoons, nice. The basics.
Nice.
Finished up high school in La Paz and then moved back to Canada and did university and didn't know a lot of folks here and ended up in Toronto and hooked up with a headhunter who placed me at Dentsu.
Nice.
Back in 2003. And I remember, honestly, I had my first day at Dentsu and I was hired as a media coordinator working on Toyota Lexus. And man, I thought I had arrived. They were paying me, I think, $25,000 a year.
Oh, you're rich. You're a millionaire.
Yeah, oh, I was rich. I think my paycheck every 2 weeks was $747. And spent the first 3 days thinking, oh man, I've really arrived. And then I got another job offer that I had applied to with Canon. To go sell toner.
Oh.
And it was paying $60,000. And I thought, well, that's a lot more money. So I resigned week one. And I remember
week one, is that what you said?
Week one, into the office and said, I got to go. Can't turn down the opportunity to sell toner. And the Friday, I stuck around to work my, I don't know, week and a half notice, whatever it was. And that Friday, they were showing commercials in the cafeteria, and there was beer, and we were talking about creative and communication. And I thought, shit, I'm not going to have this selling toner. And I went back into my boss Friday afternoon, again, after a couple beers, and said, can I have my job back? Can I stick around? And I've been at Dentsu ever since.
And he kept your salary at 20. He didn't give you a pay cut? Like, oh, no, if you're going to come back, it's going to be 24.
No, there was no pay cut, but there was no bump either. No bump.
Well, clearly your three-beer negotiation tactic didn't really...
It didn't really work out so well for me.
Okay, so you stayed there, but I mean... Okay, you were starting off not selling toner in that position, and then how do you get up there? What do you do?
So I started off in the media end of our business. So figuring out where eyeballs were catching information and how we could align our clients' messaging to those eyeballs. And then I got really curious about the creative craft. And understanding how to position things and how to make people want to lust after things. And I jumped into the creative stream at Dentsu. Our business is in sort of three buckets, creative, media, and data. So I jumped into the creative stream and started to hone that craft. And then had a huge appetite to get involved in new business, which I would recommend to anyone who wants to come up through the industry. Get into new business because it is... learning on steroids. You make the best relationships with your colleagues because it's a little pressure cooker. And you don't have a lot of time to second guess yourself. So you sort of get to the solution and work it through. And that exposed me to a lot of executives where I got an opportunity to learn from them. I got to flex my muscle and learn the commercial end of the business through that practice. And then started to run integrated accounts. So sort of nirvana, data and media and creative all working together, the convergence of all those practices. And then got wonderful opportunities through Dentsu to work around the world in Asia and Europe, running global campaigns. And honestly, just came in and always curious and always a sponge to learn from those around me.
So it sounds like there was a lot of adventure. There was a lot of willing to try new things and looking to expand your horizon. Now, one thing that you talked about that I find quite interesting is, you know, if you're a marketer, someone in creative, let's get into new biz dev. I mean, that sounds like torture for a lot of creative people that I know. So how does one do that? And I would say that a few creatives I know would be like, oh, I don't want to lose my soul. Like there are those out there that think that. So what would you say to those that are, no, I'm in creative. I don't need to talk about sales and business development. Yuck. Like KPIs, you know, like, what do you say?
Yeah. I would say new business is nirvana because there's no limitations on what you can propose. There's no guardrails because it's all in its infancy. It's, you know, that beautiful starting point of a relationship, and the world's your oyster in terms of what you decide to present and what you serve up. So I actually think it's kind of boundless creativity in that sense. And, you know, there's a quote that I love. It's the future isn't something you wait for. It's something you create. And I think in new business, that's the exact spirit that you go into every initiative with.
Okay. What about challenges? I mean, you made it sound like it was a really smooth ride. And then I did this and I did that. And then they took me all over the world and then all this kind of stuff. I would imagine it wasn't a straight line. I would imagine it was probably fairly roller coaster-y. And what did you do to pick yourself up? What learnings could you share with our audience?
Oh, yeah. No, it certainly wasn't a straight line. Look, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that go into it. Long hours. There's the typical, I mean, I actually resigned from Dentsu for a year and went to XM Satellite Radio because at the time, I think I was an account executive and my boss resigned and I thought I should get the director promotion because at the time I was doing that work and I didn't get it and I left. And so, you know, all the things that we all encounter as we rise through the ranks. And, you know, at times you think there are injustices and maybe they are, maybe there aren't. But having patience and belief, always, you know, for me being surrounded by, and I will say this at Dentsu, we're surrounded by good people. And finding your people and working through those challenges together is critical. I think, you know, it's a service industry and that comes with challenges like any service industry. You know, the client isn't always right, but the client is always the client. Mm. And that's something to appreciate. And there's some humbleness that you need to have there. I think sometimes agency people as well get sometimes maybe a little big for their bridges and maybe think they know maybe more than the client and they lose that humbleness. And there's always concern there. And I've certainly been guilty of that in the past and catching myself on that and sort of recentering myself. And, you know, it's a tough industry in terms of margin. And, you know that, Ted, I'm sure it's a race to the bottom. And in some ways, as an industry, we've done that to ourselves. We've commoditized at times our product. And you see that when, you know, agencies give away spec work and we've all been up against that. I think, you know, constantly while you bump up against those challenges, reminding yourself why you got into the business. And for me, to have the opportunity to do work that can help shape culture or help invent the future or, you know, Nirvana, help improve society through the lens of a brand is, I don't know, it's everything.
Give me a story around like a pressure cooker moment where, you know, we all know there's a lot of pressure, big brands, there's a lot of egos and there's timelines and this thing's got to hit. Give me a story about that and how you were able to not only survive it yourself, but lead your team through it. And what did you do?
Listen, I remember, I'm on the older end of the scale, but I remember when the internet was a relatively new thing, when digital was digital, it wasn't just is.
Yeah.
I remember being an AE and building a website for a client. And honestly, everything that could go wrong was going wrong in the back end, the front end. And the product was set to launch. And I remember I think I was in New York visiting some friends, and I remember it was daytime, probably late afternoon, and the client called me, and I remember literally having the phone so far away from my ear because he was just screaming that the website wasn't ready. And it was that moment of, crap, I cannot fix this for you. I cannot make a machine work any faster. There's no amount of money that we can throw at this to make it go better in this moment. And I would say what I learned in that moment is the relationship, because things will go wrong. You know this, Ted. Things are going to go wrong. The relationship you build with your clients to carry yourself through those moments is everything.
So what did you do? Did you pull on some, get asked for favors? What, like, so great, you got the relationship. He was yelling at you, but how did you resolve that?
Look, you get your team together and you work through it one issue at a time. That's what we do on any project where there's challenges is center ourselves, remind ourselves of the goal and sort of cut through all the clutter that's maybe taken us to a place that's a little bit off the destination where we wanted to go to, shake that all off. And get back to the task at hand and then work as fast as humanly possible to make things better and right and excellent for our client.
So it sounds like a lot of what you're describing is, sure, there is the agency side of it from the creative standpoint, but ultimately it's a service industry, right? So it's how do you connect with the client, make sure your team is executing and that you don't repeat those mistakes. I mean, that sounds universal in any kind of business. Now, I think one thing that's maybe not universal is, you know, we are at the forefront of what is creative, what's heading where, what are the trends. So you being at the forefront right now at the helm of a very large global entity, what are you seeing? What are you seeing out there in North America, Canada, globally, from a brand and a marketing standpoint?
I think reminding ourselves that when we're entering into a partnership with a client, whatever we express as the brand, that's the promise to the consumer, and the experience is the delivery of that promise. So understanding that construct, and that's our job. We need to be architects of outcomes for us as the agency, for our clients, and ultimately for the world. And I think there's a few behaviors that go into architecting outcomes, beginning at the end, setting clear goals, being intentional and methodical, engineering those experiences, and really appreciating that everything is a means to an end and every action is a move towards an outcome.
Okay, so if every action is a move towards an outcome, and let's address the elephant in the room. There's a big bad thing in the horizon called AI, and you got chat at first GPT, and now we got Sora with the video, right? We had DALL-E 2, now 3 or 4, wherever DALL-E you're at. How are you addressing that? And you talked earlier about racing to the bottom. Yet now, I mean, you can create a bunch of art that is done via AI. So what are you doing to address it? What tactics are you taking? What strategy you got?
Look, we're going into it open arms and embracing it fully. I think, I don't know, every piece of technology or every piece of new innovation throughout the course of history, whether it's digital or not, can be used for good, can be used for bad, or it can just be kind of benign. An axe could chop off somebody's foot, or it could cut a piece of lumber. And AI is no different. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. And I think there's a ton of applications in our space for the messy middle using AI, certainly in the creative space, in the media space. I just actually had the pleasure of sitting through our Dentsu Client Summit in North America in Palm Springs a couple weeks ago, and Microsoft did a presentation. I don't know if you're playing around with Copilot. Mm-hmm. It's like Ozempic for work. It's amazing. And I think those are the things that we should latch onto and exploit to help sort of, again, eradicate that messy middle and get to outcomes faster and better and smarter on behalf of our clients. So we're going in optimistic and opening our arms around it, but in a very responsible way.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Keep your walls and trim protected while you paint with Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. It's designed for use on multiple surfaces and can be removed easily without leaving residue behind. Save big on Scotch Blue Painter's Tape from Menards. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all of our great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Copilot, Ozempic for work.
Ozempic for work.
I think that
friend is
the tagline that you should sell to Microsoft and see. Well, you're going to have some copyright infringements, I think, somewhere along the line.
Totally.
But we'll figure that out. Okay, yeah. So what about team? So you're the CEO of Dentsu Canada. You got a fairly sizable team. What's your secret to leading a team and growing leaders? You know, you started at the bottom and you had to learn your way up, but you had to build up leaders along the way. As we know, great organizations are not just one person. It's usually a team. So what's your trick there?
I think people need autonomy to go do. If you're going to entrust somebody in a role, you got to have faith they can go do the job. So I think that's the starting point. You know, one of the things we've been trying to do over the last few years is, you know, agencies are well known to have very ineffective hierarchies. And we've been trying to break those down. So moving from sort of linear hierarchies stacked with people who do the same thing, we've been trying to build teams, SWAT teams of cross-disciplinary talents, where we can position a brand lead to sort of conduct as a maestro, but aligning special teams around specific projects and goals, and then trusting people to go lead. One of our values at Dentsu is we all lead, and we believe that, and we empower people as such.
So what do you do at your job? I mean, you're the dude that just, you know, some people think a CEO just sits around, drinks martinis, especially with Mad Men days and all that kind of stuff.
So, I love a good martini.
Right? So do I. But I mean, what? Give us a glimpse into a day in the life of Steven.
You know, it's the full gamut. I get to come into our various offices. We have four offices around Canada, and I get to visit each of them. And I love walking around the office and talking to folks. You know, to your point, I've spent the last 20 years here. I've worked every single role in this company from the ground up. And it's never lost on me to talk to somebody at any position in our company and to hear what's helping them succeed, but even more importantly, what's holding them back. Because I know those pain points, and they've all evolved in different ways. But understanding that and how I can help contribute from my seat to knock down some of those obstacles, to make work easier, to get to the outcomes. That's a big part of my day. Connecting with our clients, and because without our clients, we don't have a business, for me is really important. And making sure that we're creating success for our clients, it's not lost on me. That's why we're all here. And you know, creating profile for our company. We have 1,100 people, 1,100 heartbeats across the country who wake up every single day and in some ways spend more time at work on behalf of our clients than they do with their families. It's important that the good work they're doing, we get a spotlight on it so we can go grow for the next.
So I hear recognition, realizing that, you know, ultimately the client success is important, connecting with them, but also just making sure you have a little bit of empathy and understanding kind of where your team's at. That's kind of what.
So much so.
So then it sounds like
we're in the people business, and you know what, we, you know, some companies sell widgets, and we employ people's dreams and brains and heartbeats. That's our business.
That's good. So then it sounds like the job, you make it sound like it's super easy, right? But where does a CEO leading 1,100 people lose sleep at night? Because I'm assuming there are things that only Steven is on Steven's plate. Yeah.
There's listen, running an agency is like holding a leaky bucket. I mean, you run an agency, you know that.
1,100 holes of leaky bucket. Is that what you're telling me? That's a big bucket with a lot of leaks.
Listen, 1,100 strong heartbeats and brains powering the business, but it is, you know, we're all holding one big leaky bucket, and you know, there's, you know, stuff going out, so you got to make sure there's stuff coming in. To make sure that we've got work and space for all of us to contribute and to craft together. So that's probably the number one thing, managing obviously the P&L and making sure that we're making the right investments in our people and our technology to stay current so we can figure out what's next on behalf of our clients is a stress point, but it's also pretty rewarding. And again, making sure that, you know, we're in a commercial business, but making sure that we're using our powers for good and not bad. That's really important to me.
So then you have to, you're still in the pitches. Yeah. You're still in the meetings, the client development. So that's a big part of your role. You talked about P&L, which earlier we didn't talk about. You talked about operations earlier and biz dev, but on the P&L side, that means you have to also understand finance.
Yeah.
Do you have to go back to go get an MBA or anything like that? Or yeah, you're nodding your head.
So I haven't come back for a formal MBA, but I have done some training in that space, and Dentsu's actually run some really good programs that I've been able to participate in to learn the art of a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this, I had a boss who came into Dentsu through an acquisition, a gentleman named Claude Carrier, and he taught me, honestly, how to manage a P&L. And he taught me how to read the numbers, but also how to feel the P&L and make decisions off of that. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Yeah, that's actually...
And you know what? Surround yourself with good finance people. And I always say, hug your finance team, especially during the close at the holidays. We're on a fiscal year. Hug your finance people.
Well, yeah, because they got to do your year end and all that kind of stuff.
They got to do the year end.
Everyone's drinking holiday martinis and they're doing all that. Yeah, I get that.
That's right. God bless.
Well, I mean, reading the P&Ls is definitely something important. Again, these are things that I think while you got into the space thinking you're going to do one thing, you ended up doing a bunch of other things to grow your career. And I think hopefully our listeners are getting an appreciation for that, that if they're going to grow their careers, they're going to have to maybe take on some of that. And was that a lot of someone tapping on Steven's shoulder? Like, hey, I think you should take this course or you should do this. Or was it something from within that you're like, okay, well, I think I want to do this one day. And therefore I'm going to go and take these courses.
Honestly, I think a combination of all of the above. I mean, I've always been somebody who's been motivated for what's next. And I've always had a confidence that I know that I've got the ability to go achieve great things. Hmm. So I came into the role and my career with that ambition and drive. And then I've been really lucky that I've been mentored by some pretty fantastic people who have taken the time to sit with me and train and teach me. And in those moments, I've been a sponge. So go in and be curious, ask all the questions, and listen and internalize, and then ask more questions from what you've internalized. And that's been my practice. And, there's aspects of my job that, don't motivate me to get out of bed. But you know what? They're part of the job. And if you're going to show up, you got to do the whole job and you got to do it extremely well. So lean into it and find joy where you can in all aspects.
Totally. I have the luxury of mentoring a number of younger agency owners because I've been around the block a little bit myself. And good thing this is an audio podcast, so you can't see my gray hairs. But, I've been around the block enough that I understand that just because you have a mentor, you need to be still coachable. And then the ones that I find that I have the best rapport with my mentees are the ones that you said, ask questions, actually listen, and take the action in which after I've shared an experience. And because it's as someone that is in the mentor capacity, I'm able to then provide insights of something that I might have not thought about for the last 15 years. Like, oh my goodness, I remember that, but way back when, and now it's fulfilling because I'm able to pay it forward. It's important to have someone.
I agree with you. And I think folks at work need, as they're coming up and true of sort of any position you're in any company, the difference between a mentor and a sponsor, I don't know if you agree with this. You need both at work. You need a sponsor who's going to be in the room when you're not there advocating hard on your behalf at all times. And you need a mentor where you can go and just have the really honest discussions and ask the dumb questions and they have all the time and space for you. Those two things aren't always in the same person. And I think teasing that out and being aware of who your sponsors are and who your mentors are is really important.
I think it's true. But the difference is that sometimes mentors can be a bit more formal. You can actually ask your mentor, hey, can you mentor me? I don't know. I guess that you do get some sponsors saying, hey, you can sponsor me, but it's usually a little bit less formal, right? It's usually a little bit more like you've done good work, you've done, you know, you've worked, collaborated well together. So maybe, you know, me and Steven are buds, and now Steven is in a boardroom talking about this project. Oh, maybe we should bring Ted and his team in, right? That's kind of the idea. And I mean, that just goes with business. I think you on the biz dev side, you probably know that, you know, your clients maybe have moved from one, maybe they moved from, I don't know, Lexus to American Express or something like that. And they worked really well with Steven. They're like, oh, no, I'm bringing Steven in. He's my guy, right? And his team. Yeah. So that's really cool. So, you know, just mindful of time. Where do you see Dentsu Canada going? I mean, you're not a small agency. Canada is only so large. What's the growth trajectory here?
Look, I think sky's the limits. We are blessed. I mean, we are, we're active in every single major vertical in Canada, whether that's automotive, finance, insurance, CPG. We're blessed with a really awesome client roster. I think we're doing the best work in Dentsu Canada's history. I've been around for 20 years, in this company, and I look at the work we're doing, the work in media and our support around local media, which is making a huge difference. The work we're doing in media around attention economy and where eyeballs are sitting, and how clients can take advantage of that. Creatively, I mean, we've never had a hotter product. And you know, Cannes wins last year and countless awards, and we've moved business. And then I look at our data practice as well. And what I'm most excited about for Dentsu Canada is continuing the convergence of the practices around creative media and data, to get to outcomes for our clients that others can't provide. I really am excited about that.
That's really cool. So tell me a little bit about the data aspect. We didn't really talk too much about that. One, were you ever in a data seat, or is it kind of a newer development? Because I think you started the conversation with back in the old days with the beginning of the internet. So how does that work right now?
We launched a few years ago. We launched Merkle Canada, which is the CXM or data spine of Dentsu worldwide. And we've brought in some brilliant thinkers in that practice. And I've never been directly in a role responsible for data, but I mean, data just is. Mm-hmm. It's the spine of any great account. So I've been blessed to be around a lot of smart, critical thinkers in that space. And I've been able to put it into practice on big accounts. We've got big plans. We're cooking up some special stuff in that space around Merkle, around our products, and how we can help our clients see into the future, understand new Canadians who are coming in, which is a huge portion of our population base, as you know. We've got some good stuff cooking up, cutting edge stuff.
Well, give me a teaser. Don't just keep talking about exciting stuff that you're cooking up. Give me a taste, man. Come on.
Well, last year we launched a product called Mercury Local, and it can help clients figure out on steroids where growth opportunities could be for, I don't know, where they should set up a new dealership, where buying propensity is. And we can segment it on steroids based on immigration patterns in Canada. It's really cutting edge stuff. And we continue to refine all of these tools and products. And again, there's some exciting launch stuff coming up in that regard.
Okay. All right. Well, so we should probably start wrapping this up. What one piece of advice you want to give brands out there considering, you know, maybe they want to launch a new campaign, make a splash? What should they be considering?
I think don't underestimate a couple things. I think, don't underestimate Canadians' appetite for brands to be a force for good. I think more and more, and we've all seen the studies, but, you know, consumers are looking for brands to be sort of benevolent contributors to society in ways that maybe in the past we've counted on government. The buying public is looking towards public commerce for that. So I think there's a pretty awesome responsibility that comes along with that and not to shy away from it. I think brands need to understand that you can't just say You can't just go take out a TV ad and maybe share what your promise is. You need to go do and be real, and it's got to be substantive, and people need to feel it and touch it and see it. And then ultimately, I think brands and agency folks alike need to appreciate that if we aren't making mistakes, we're not doing our jobs right now. They've got to be calculated, and they can't be, you know, sort of stupid mistakes. But if we aren't trying new things, we're not doing our job right. And appreciating that failure is a teacher. It's not an attacker. It's a lesson. It's not a loss.
Yeah. Amen. Fail fast, right?
Fail fast.
Okay. So let's do a quick rapid fire round before we shoo you off to sunny Toronto. Apparently you're telling me that Toronto's new, the new LA, which I still don't believe, but okay. It is what it is.
You let us know on your travels.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Okay. So you a night owl or early bird?
Early bird. I'm up every morning at 5:30.
Cat or dog person?
Dog.
First thing you ever marketed?
Toyota Lexus.
Ooh. Dark or milk chocolate?
Dark.
Red or white?
No. Milk. Oh. Milk.
Milk. Ooh.
Milk. Yeah.
Mars bar or Aero? Wait, do we have a Canadian one? I just threw out names there, so I don't know.
I'm going to go Aero. I like the bubbles.
I like the bubbles, right? Yeah, me too.
I like the bubbles. Yeah.
Movie that you loved watching in the last 12 months?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I just rewatched Almost Famous.
Wow.
And I fell in love with it again.
That's a blast from the past. I thought you were going to say like Oppenheimer, Barbie, like everyone else.
No. Right. Almost Famous.
Favorite song that you're playing right now on your iTunes?
The whole album from Almost Famous.
You're listening to the album too? Oh my goodness.
The album. Yeah, I really got into it. And I got to say Tiny Dancer. It's a great tune.
Great song. Great song. Last charity you supported financially and why?
A breast cancer charity. My wife is a breast cancer survivor.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that positive note, I think we're going to call it there. Stephen, really appreciate your time. How can people get a hold of you? If there's anything you want to plug and tell the audience what you're up to, please do so.
No, open book. I think all of our information's on dentsu.com and Stephen.Kiley at dentsu.com. I'm an email away.
Oh, man. Floodgates, man. You just don't know what you did. Well, our listeners are going to come.
Bring it on.
All right. Well, hey,
thank you for the time. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. It was a great time. Thanks, everybody. This is Stephen and Ted signing off for Marketing News Canada. See you guys next time. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A lot of smart people don't feel smart about their money. We have so many questions. Is a prenup a good way to start a marriage? Can I afford my dream home? And how do I leave a legacy for my children? Morgan Stanley has a podcast to help. On What Should I Do With My Money? You can listen in on real people asking the same questions you have and getting helpful answers from experienced financial advisors. Find and follow What Should I Do With My Money to get the answers you need to feel smart about your money.